This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. Insurance tycoon Greg Lindberg is under indictment for allegedly trying to bribe the state insurance commissioner. He's pleaded not guilty, and it turns out that Lindberg is also the subject of a number of other state and federal investigations tied to his business practices and the army of surveillance operatives he's hired to follow the women he was dating. Mark Mermont is senior editor with the Wall Street Journal. He's been documenting the story, and he joins me now. Mark, welcome to the State of Things.
Thanks, Frank. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. We need to start with a story that we are most familiar with here in North Carolina, the bribery case against Greg Lindberg. Talk about that and give us the rough details again.
He had a number of insurance companies that were regulated in North Carolina and had a very unusual strategy related to his insurers. Just stepping back for a minute, insurers are kind of boring, but they also have a lot of money there, and his idea was that he was going to buy a few life insurers and loan a bunch of their money to himself, which is an unusual practice in the insurance business, and in fact, generally frowned on and prohibited in many states. But in North Carolina, the laws were a little bit vague, and they also the state also has an elected insurance commissioner, which is a minority of states have that. And so he was a big backer of the former insurance commissioner, who's Wayne Goodwin, who lost in 2016 to Mike Causey, who's the current insurance commissioner. And so the former insurance commissioner essentially had allowed this unusual strategy of the insurers lending money to Lindberg himself or to his enterprises. But Mr. Causey and his department weren't so keen on it. So Lindberg was unhappy with the regulator who was regulating him, the day-to-day regulator, and it suggested that person change. And supposedly in the course of that conversation, he had offered Causey $2 million in contributions for his reelection campaign, but unknown to Mr. Lindberg and his associates, the insurance commissioner was essentially wearing a wire doing secret recording for the FBI. So Lindberg has been charged with conspiracy to bribe the insurance commissioner along with three other people.
And I think the party dynamics are important here. Mike Causey, who is the insurance commissioner who was working with the FBI and participated in this investigation against Lindberg, is a Republican. Allegedly, it's Lindberg was trying to bribe him. Causey was working with the FBI. But the Republican, Lindberg, is one of the major, if not the biggest, donors to the state Republican Party. And the former state Republican chair has pleaded guilty to his participation in this. So tell us a little bit about that.
Robin Hayes was the chairman of the Republican Party in the state, and supposedly he agreed to serve as a go-between, essentially, to funnel money from Lindberg to the state Republican Party and then on to Causey's campaign to get around limits on campaign contributions to an individual candidate. Of course, first he denied that he had done that, but now he's pleaded guilty to lying to the FBI about his role in the alleged scheme. From our sources, he has also agreed to cooperate with prosecutors, which is probably not very good for the other defendants.
Right, including Lindberg, who has pleaded not guilty in all of this. So let's take a step back, because you've done a deep dive and looked at his career and some of the other investigations around Lindberg, including these unusual business practices. What else are investigators looking at Lindberg for?
As I mentioned before, he had bought a number of small insurance companies and loaned more than $2 billion to himself or to enterprises that he personally owned. And the question is, you know, where did that money go? Did it all go into these companies or was there something else? And one of the things that we documented is around the time that Mr. Lindberg, who was already a fairly wealthy guy, he got into the insurance business around 2014, and his lifestyle took a healthy jump upward. He was spending money, well, like a billionaire. He bought a private jet. He leased another one, a Gulfstream 5, which is a big jet. He purchased multiple luxury homes, one a $20 million compound in Idaho, one in the Florida Keys. He bought the most expensive single-family home sold to that point in Raleigh, a $5.5 million mansion. And, of course, he was donating millions and millions of dollars to mostly to Republicans, but also to Democrats, and campaign contributions not only in North Carolina but in Florida and other places. There were lots of other unusual expenditures of money. And the question is, where did that money come from? Mr. Lindbergh and his associates, spokespeople, say that no insurance money was spent on his lifestyle or anything like that. But in addition to the bribery investigation, which is headed out of the U.S. Attorney's Office in Charlotte, there's also what we understand to be a very large parallel investigation into Lindbergh's entire empire and where did the money come from and where did it go. We don't have a lot of details of that, but there have been it appears to be a quite a substantial effort to figure out what happened.
Well, take us back a little bit farther and talk about how he got started. You say he's been really in this business since 2014, which is not a long, long time. How did he get started, and you know, how did he build this empire?
I have to say I've been doing investigative reporting for a while, and this is absolutely one of the most fascinating stories about a person I've ever encountered. Big news in North Carolina and nationally. This guy, Greg Lindbergh, who's about 49 years old now, grew up in California. He's a Yale graduate. He started a healthcare newsletter from his dorm room and built up a small conglomerate in North Carolina in the 90s and 2000s. And absolutely, from what we understand, absolutely a brilliant guy, just incredible head for figures, understands business very well. He's also, we understand, somewhat socially awkward. He's colorblind. He wears black most of the time. He's a real health fanatic. He gobbles scores of vitamins and ordered subordinates to deliver very, very heavy weights to his hotel rooms. He just got impatient, I think, with the small conglomerate, and he decided that he needed new source of capital. And insurers, as I mentioned, have a lot of money on the books. They're supposed to be paying, policyholders 20 or 30 years from now when they die or right. whatever, they need the money.
Right.
And they're supposed to invest it very conservatively. And he said, well, I can do much better with it because I've been investing so well. So he bought one small insurer, and then he kind of daisy-chained them all together and got kind of a mini conglomerate of insurance companies and has now built up a pretty large empire, mostly funded by insurance money many places around the world, actually.
Taking a deep dive into the life and career of Greg Lindbergh, accused of attempted bribery here in the state of North Carolina, and we're talking about it on The State of Things. Talking about it with senior editor with The Wall Street Journal, Mark Mermont. So also, you talk about an interesting guy, maybe socially awkward, a genius for figures and business, under investigation on multiple fronts, and then there's the investigations of the women he is dating, and he hires investigators to follow them around. Tell us more.
Yeah, he separated from his wife in 2017, and she had described him as increasingly paranoid with, armed guards and multiple fences and guard dogs and cameras everywhere at their compound in Durham. And he started dating women, or was interested in dating women, all over the country, in fact, around the world, including a Sports Illustrated swimsuit model and a former Miss Texas International. And for reasons that aren't exactly clear, he hired dozens of surveillance operatives to spy on these women, sometimes 24/7. They put GPS trackers in some of the women's cars. They had people outside taking pictures of them. He wanted to know if they ever interacted with men. One report, we got hold of a bunch of internal reports that the surveillance operatives compiled. There was a Los Angeles woman who he was interested in who drove off with a man one time, which isn't that unusual, of course, but they tailed her to a bar, took pictures of them, tailed her back to his home. Another woman who was his fiance for a while, they actually were on her 24/7, and she was taking a cooking class in New York City where she lived in a Lindbergh apartment, and they actually secretly enrolled an operative in her cooking class to see who, you know, report back on who she was talking to and what she was doing. And he's explained that he did this because it was kind of like a background check on these women. He didn't want to have a long-term relationship with anybody who was abusing drugs or alcohol or associating with shady people. But some of the former surveillance operatives we talked to thought it was very disturbing, and they had been told that the women had agreed to the surveillance, but they became doubtful of that when some of the women got frightened by seeing men following them. And even more, a little bit out there, apparently at least one of these women that he was surveilling was an egg donor for he wants to have a child, at least one child, and he's currently expecting one with a surrogate mother, is a divorced man in his late 40s. So it was a very big, very substantial surveillance effort, and cost a lot of money.
Substantial bit of reporting by Mark Mearmont and the Wall Street Journal. You can find the reporting in the Journal. Mark Mearmont, thank you so much.
Thank you, Frank.
Just had Mab Sigrist followed hate groups in North Carolina in the 80s. She's still at it today. She'll give us a comparison on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.